Well, we are in part 9 in the book of Luke. I'm sure that you have kind of gathered that by now, that we're in the book of Luke, and we're entitling it For Everyone. We're going to see how For Everyone applies to today as some of the things that we're going to learn. And last week, we talked about the four soils, and I don't know if you can remember them, but they were the hard soil, they were the shallow soil, they were the crowded soil, and then finally the fruitful soil. And this week, we're actually going to be talking again about the importance of God's Word, just in a different light. Now, you might have grown up singing a song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine," which is absolutely true. It is a principle based on Matthew 5, 14 to 16, how we are to have the light of Christ in our lives and let it shine for others. When we talk this morning about the light shining, it's actually in the context of letting the light of God's Word illuminate our lives versus necessarily our personal light shining, which is absolutely true. But I don't know how many of you have had a serious fall in the dark. Anybody? It's not fun. And it's sometimes we wonder why we didn't turn the light on, you know? And I can remember when, there's a comedian named Mark Lowry who says, "The purpose of your toes are to find things in the dark." And that is, you know, when you get your toe and you crack it really good on a table leg or something like that. And I can remember when my son was young, Ryan, and he had Legos. And you might not understand this, but he didn't always clean up after himself. You know, a young boy who didn't clean up, I know it's kind of strange, but he would not clean up his Legos all the time. And I would walk around in the dark, and I would find one of those Legos kind of pointing up in the air with the bottom of my foot, and I would let out a yelp. It was not fun. And I thought that was the worst thing that you could find in the dark, until we got a dog who would chew on Chewies. And what would happen is she would chew on them, and it would almost be like she was in prison or something like that, because she'd be trying to make a point with this thing. And it would get soft, this rawhide would get soft, she'd chew it to a point, and then it would harden. And I would step on that thing in the dark, and I still do at times, and it is a miserable situation. But God's Word is there to light every instance of our lives. And as you think of your life, now some of you come from all sorts of different walks of life. Some of you are in retirement. Some of you are actively working. Some of you are in school or have just finished school, or whatever it is. There's no area of our lives or time of day that God's Word doesn't touch, right? So as we wake up in the morning, God's Word has the ability to touch how we kind of wake up. And, you know, some of us wake up and we are morning people, and it's, you know, good morning, Lord. And then some of us are it's good, Lord, it's morning, you know, kind of thing. But, you know, just waking up and how we think about the day and how we face the day, God's Word has everything to do with that. And around lunchtime and around noontime, and when we get off of work, how our evening is structured, and our night, our thoughts when we go to bed, when we wake up in the middle of the night with those kind of heart-wrenching kind of thoughts, and I'm sure everyone here has kind of experienced that. But God's Word has everything to do with that, has everything to do with all of life. And we can actually have God's Word be the grid that we look through all of life from, or it can be set aside. And we're going to be talking about this morning about it being set aside. There is a scripture passage in Psalm 1:1, and it gives a warning about keeping bad company. And I'm going to put it up on the screen in a second, but we're going to just think about Psalm 1:1 and how it gives a warning against bad company. And yet I was someone who did not heed that warning when I was in high school. And I can remember it was my senior year after high school, and I was in with the drinking crowd. And I'm not going to say that, you know, my life was so much worse than some of your lives have been or whatever, but this is just kind of my own story, my own version of it. And I can remember I had gotten very, very drunk at a drive-in movie theater with a bunch of my friends. And we left early, and we were pulling out of the drive-in movie theater, and there was about six police cars that were pulling in. And the events of that night were something where I still look back on it, and I say, Lord, it's only by your grace. It wasn't because of my foolishness. It was only by your grace that you protected me from so much that could have happened even in one night of being drunk. But it seems that we were in the back of the drive-in movie theater, and we were drinking very heavily. And there was a car next to us where there was a guy who was a second-degree black belt, who was a Marine, who was finding it entertaining to punch out the back, the rails in the fence that was at the back of the drive-in movie theater. Well, someone had seen that and had called the police. And so as we were pulling out, the police were pulling in to do some arrests for vandalism and everything else like that. But if I had been caught, I was an underage drinker. I would have been, you know, possibly charged with underage drinking. You think about my foolishness that night under the influence. I was drunk. I picked a fight with the second degree black belt guy from the Marines. And I think you can pretty well guess how that would have turned out. The Lord saved me from immorality that night, saved me from alcohol poisoning because I had drunk so much. He saved me from so much, even in all my foolishness. And what it was I did not, a few months earlier, heed his word. And this is what his word says. One of the many places. Blessed is he who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. And God's word, just in one verse, says, be careful when you are walking by evil or wickedness, or those, in my case, who were involved in the party life, just keep walking. But instead, I stood in the path of sinners, and then I sat in the seat of scoffers. And so I was a rock-solid Christian that spring in my senior year. I was a leader in my student ministry. I led worship. You know, even back then, I led worship in our student ministry. But there were friends. And so there is so much that God's Word can do to instruct us in how to live our lives. And that's just one instance of what He does to provide and protect for us with his word. And so let's just look at four principles. If you have your notes, these are, there's some blanks there, but we're gonna be looking at four principles about God's word today. And again, this is talking about the light of God's word versus the light of our testimony, which Matthew 5 would say, that is what would happen. You are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. This is more talking about us being about the light of God's word. So first principle is this: God's word is intended to illuminate all of life. And it says in the second part of verse 16 in chapter 8, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. And so there's two purposes to light, right? It is to show the way, and it's also to expose what is hidden. I don't know if you have many deer in this part. I know on 78 there's always dead deer and everything else like that. But in our part of Pennsylvania, there's just a ton of deer. And one of the things that happens is that if you have your bright lights on, your bright lights go like this, and it illuminates the side of the road. And what is sometimes hidden are deer that are ready to run in front of your car. And so light shows the way, and we kind of take it for granted. Right? Well, of course, you know, you have a flashlight, you have headlights, you have, house lights, you have the sunlight. Of course, you know, if it's dark out, you make sure there is light somewhere. But it is not always the case. And there is the darkness of not walking in God's word. But this says, put it on lampstands so that those who come in may see the light. And so when someone has their headlights off, you kind of, do you do that thing where you flick your lights at them and you kind of say, hey, your headlights are off? there's a reason for that. There's a danger. Or having the houses, the lights on in your house. There's a reason that we put lights on at the in our house. Scripture tells us so many things, and we kind of might take this for granted, but Scripture tells us what reality is, right? Metaphysics. It tells us that there is a material world, unlike other belief systems that say, you know what, there is, all of this is illusion and everything, and you really need to, this is Hinduism, need to get to Brahma, which is the ultimate reality. But we believe that there is a material world that we live in, but the Bible tells us that there is also a spiritual world that we live in, with spiritual beings, and that material world is temporary, that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Well, some people that you say to that there is a spiritual world that we live in, they think it's pure foolishness. And maybe if we didn't have this, the God's word, we wouldn't believe in it either. But the Bible says that there is reality. There is, you know, when you take it down to its base kind of existence, there is a reality that there's a physical world, but there's a spiritual world. The Bible tells us that there is an authority. There is the movie Rudy. There is a God, and I'm not him. And so there is a God who is over all mankind, and all mankind is accountable to. And we believe it because many times we believe in God's word, but you try saying that to somebody that you work with or to a neighbor, somebody that you're trying to tell about the Lord. And so many times they would say, I'm accountable to me. That's who I'm accountable to. The Bible tells us about ethics and morality, that there is a God who has spoken to guide us. And even when we vote and there are politics, we are guided by God's word according to his word about certain ways to even vote. And so God has spoken to guide, provide, and protect for us. God has spoken about in his word about spirituality, that there's only one way to God, and that's through grace and not works. And that would contrast, that statement in God's word would contrast what we believe in with all the other belief systems in the world that say you have to work for your salvation. And yet our God has said there is grace that is available and there's no working for that grace. The Bible talks about doctrine. What do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? What do you believe about end times? It comes from the Bible. Bible gives us practical advice about money, family, relationships. And it talks about our need and how to fulfill our needs for intimacy, purpose, and identity. And so God's word speaks to so much. I think one of the great things about God's word that it is objective versus subjective. Now, subjective is, you know, I kind of live my life and my life is at this level, and then it kind of goes down and it lands here, and I just kind of get used to me. You get used to you. And yet God's word is the outside source that speaks into our lives and say, this is truth, this is truth, this is truth. No matter what you make it to be, no matter what state you are, no matter how you've kind of defined reality, this is objective truth that continues to speak into your life. In the men's group, on Wednesday morning, we're getting God's word speaking into our lives. And I think all of us have become aware of how sometimes we just kind of coast through life. And then God's word from the outside in says, yeah, but take a look at your life. Here is objective truth to look at the reality of your life. The Bible doesn't change over time. The Bible says the same, so it doesn't change according to this trend, this latest thing that's going on, but the Bible says the same thing at the time of Christ as it did in 500 AD, as it does in 2020 AD. So the Word of God is objective, it doesn't change. And so you constantly have our lives that drift around and go down and come up, and we're on this kind of roller coaster ride, and God's Word continues to speak into our lives that objective truth. Second principle is this: God's word can be blocked out. Did you know that? And I put in parentheses in your notes, for a season. So what does that look like as we block out God's word from our lives? Well, some of you could stand up and say, I'll give you personal testimony of what happens when you block out God's word from your life. I'll tell you directly how it looks when you block out God's word from your life. I talked about my senior year summer and what happened and how God saved me from so much during that time that I was partying. And so many of us could say, I know what it looks like. I can tell you exactly what it looks like to not live your life by God's word. And I think one of the main things is you lose a grid that you look at through all of life. And so, left to your own devices, let's say that you are a fairly big person and you come to confrontation with another human being. Well, my natural tendency is to lash out verbally and even physically. And it happens over and over and over again where people living according to a different grid get into all these legal messes and even being arrested because they have avoided God's word. You lose the grid of how to be a parent. You lose the grid of how to be a husband. You lose the grid of how to live life. You lose the grid of how to be an ethical person in the business world. And so God's word can be blocked out for a season. But immediately, eventually, or ultimately, all things come to light. So sometimes there is, I'm going to block out God's word, and I'm going to respond to this person the way I think I want to respond. And you respond, and you tear that person from top to bottom with your tongue. And I don't know if you've ever done this. I have done it. And you just let them have it. And immediately, you're sorry for doing it. You see the damage that you're done. Sometimes it is eventually that you see that night, 10 years later, is still impacting your relationship, so eventually. But ultimately, as we stand before the Bema seat, the throne of God, we give accountability for the words that we speak. And so immediately, eventually, or ultimately, we see the outcome of a life lived outside of God's word. The next one is God's word is not static. Do you understand that our Christian life is either going backward or it's going forward? There's no neutral. We'd love it to be neutral. So the question is, are you going backward or are you going forward in your relation to your obedience to God's word? And so as you look at yourself a year ago, how does your life look compared to today? Are you going backward or forward? How about 5 years ago? How about 10 years ago? And so there is that sense of we are either going backward or forward. So as you've come into, maybe some of you have come into good fortune, and has that made you thankful and more dependent or more independent of God? As you've come into hard times, has that made you better or bitter? Has your love for God grown or has it diminished? And so God's word is not static. We're either living more in obedience to it or less in obedience to it. There I was. It was the spring of my senior year, like I told you about, that I was living for the Lord, that I was very active in my student ministry. I had a great burden for my friends to come to Christ. I was leading worship in my student ministry, and there I was, but you're either moving backward or you're moving forward. And there I was at that point in life, but I had a friend named Jeff, and I had a friend named Chris, and the rest is history. See, I wasn't just hanging out with bad company. My life was on either going up or going down, and this time I gave in, and my life started tracking away from the Lord. The last one is this: God's word is for everyone. It's another reminder of the size of the crowd that Jesus was facing. It says, and his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. Can you imagine? I mean, us, we walk around, you know, I didn't see anyone, including myself, including Julie, walk in here with a crowd kind of just pressing in on us, wanting stuff from us, wanting to be healed, wanting to be instructed, wanted him to come to their house. And that was how Jesus walked. So much of his life, of his ministry life, with people pressing in around him. Just another reminder of how much people were pressing in on Jesus. His own family couldn't get to him because of the crowd. Can you imagine the size of that crowd? Hundreds, even thousands. Well, it says that they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. Do you know why they wanted to get to him? In Mark, it says they were afraid that he had lost his sanity. Isn't that interesting? His mother and his brothers wanted to get to him and take custody of him because they thought, this man has lost his mind. My brother, my son has lost his mind with all these things that he is claiming and everything. And Jesus was aware of that. Understand that Jesus knew men's hearts. And it says, and it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And so God's word is for everyone. Who is the mother and the brother of Jesus? Those who do the word of God. It's interesting to note that we would say, you know what? Some people would say Mary had this special place and she actually holds a special place today. When the Bible, even in this instance, would say that's not true. You see, Mary was one of the ones who was trying to get to Jesus. And she is seen today by a belief system as the one that if you want to get to Jesus, you go through his mother. And yet we see in this instance that Jesus was indifferent to his mother trying to intercede for herself, for her sons. And Jesus says, blessed are those, my mother and my brother are those who hear the word of God and do it. There's also something called the perpetual virginity of Mary. I don't know if any belief system that you grew up in, but that is saying that Mary had Jesus through the Holy Spirit and then she stopped. But we see that she had relations with Joseph and that she actually had sons. And in other places we see it, she had daughters. And so there is a lot that would tell us, you know what? It kind of puts Mary in a place of, yes, she did the will of God, but Jesus said, you know what? My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and they do it. It's as simple as that. And so a family relationship with Jesus is not regulated by ethnicity or gender. God's word is for everyone. And it's for those that you work with. It's those that you live in a neighborhood with. It's those that you wait in the carpool line with. It's for everyone. It's open to everyone who hears and does God's word. I can remember the interesting part of my story as I walk with the Lord. So it was the spring of my senior year, hanging out with Jeff and Chris. They influenced me towards a life of partying. I dove into a life of partying. I made so many mistakes in a life of partying. Guess where I was heading that fall after my summer of partying? Bible college. And I just thought, you know, I'm just going to live it up. I'm going to have my party life. And then I'm going to snap my fingers and I'm going to get back into Bible college and everything is going to be okay. Well, what happened was there was a hardening of my heart that happened that summer that I couldn't just snap my fingers. And so as I was sitting in Bible college classes, as I was sitting in Bible college chapel, as I was around Bible college students my age, I just had an absolutely hard heart. But I said, you know what? I want to rebuild my life. I want to rebuild my life. And so this didn't happen over time, but I started getting back into God's word. And I still have the Bible that I had when I was in a freshman in Bible college. And you can see where I had underlined stuff and I was getting back into God's word, letting it illuminate my life. And then I started doing street evangelism, trying to exercise my faith. and I was getting involved with other students. And finally, the Lord started rebuilding my life to where I was a hard person, I had a hard heart, and where he started rebuilding my life to live for him. You have the light of God's word. You have the opportunity to let it illuminate your life, but you have to, here's the challenge. Right now, where you sit over the past week, have you been in God's word? See, you have to be in God's word to let it illuminate your life. And that like takes a lot of different forms. You know, right now I am actually, because I do so much studying for my time here, that it actually is very meaningful to me right now to watch a pastor named Skip Heitzig's just preaching. And it's very meaningful to me to be in God's word in that way. And it takes a lot of different forms. Maybe you're reading a book. Maybe you're doing a book study. Maybe you are reading straight scripture and doing the, what does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean for me? The observation, interpretation, application method. Whatever it is, but as you think about the last week or the last month, have you been in God's word? And so you have to be in God's word, you have to know God's word, and you have to do God's word. And it's a great challenge for every one of us because we have this tendency to drift away from God's word, right? We have a tendency, because of our human nature, because of our flesh, we have a tendency to say, you know what, just left to my own devices, I'm going to drift over here away from the Lord being the Lord of my life. God's word is intended to illuminate all of life. God's word can be blocked out for a season. God's word is not static, and God's word is for everyone.